Does money grow on trees? It's Home Economics with Sam Stubbs on 95BFM, thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan.
And of course, sponsors of the Simplicity B-Card. Hi Sam, how are you?
G'day mate, good.
Thanks for coming in. You've been regaling us with stories about how when you didn't have to pay to go to university and and how great it was, you spending your money on piss. And yeah, just what a great time it was. And did you see the pain behind the eyes of everyone here as you were telling those stories?
Yeah,
there?
I know. They were like,
just
like,
wondering how they could borrow some more money to get a bus home, that sort of
like,
thing.
Yeah, you know, serious green eye. Like, man, I'm so old, man. I mean, they used to pay me to come here.
Sam, you're here to help us out so we don't fall down the hole of debt and have a life full of misery, but we can blame solely on the fact of with cash.
Yeah,
you know, so I mean, you guys, Simplicity does a KiwiSaver. You're a KiwiSaver provider.
Yep.
And you're the good one.
Yep. We're the non-profit one. We want to make Kiwis wealthier in retirement. We don't want to make any money for it ourselves. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, outside of KiwiSaver, how do we make ourselves wealthy apart from work hard and don't give any money, don't buy anything?
Yeah, I was like, it's as simple as this, mate. Don't spend.
Okay, right. I was hoping for a little bit more than that, to be honest, Sam.
No, you'll get more.
Okay. So when you say, I mean, but there's got to be some tricks that's,
yeah, there is, mate. Look.
That don't involve, hey, click on here for 5 ways to save money. You know, there must be some things that we just aren't, that New Zealanders just don't get, you know?
Yeah, look, I think the first thing you've got to try to do is not get into the debt that you don't need to get into, right? I mean, clearly you've got to borrow money for student loans and all that sort of stuff. But there's a whole lot of debt you don't have to get into. There's a whole lot of people who'll offer it to you, right? This is like, there's this huge industry in lending people money and charging them a fortune for it.
It's been going on for a while, that industry.
It's been going on forever, man. Yeah. This has been going on forever. And look, they'll send you lots of messages subliminally, explicitly, all this thing about how your life's going to be better when just borrow a little bit more money, buy what you need now, and don't worry about paying it off later on. We'll sort that out later on.
Yep.
That screws you, man. It really screws you. So the first thing is just be aware of all these people are trying to flop you, but basically lend your money to buy your stuff. And this is everywhere, man. This is in retailers when they say, you know, that you know you get free this, low interest that. Just think seriously about, listen, do I really want to be in debt?
36 months to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look, and it's a huge industry, man. There's billions and billions of dollars gets lent this way on massive interest rates. So that's the first thing. Don't try, think really seriously. Do I actually need this? And do I actually need to borrow money in order to do this? Because
the problem is, though, when you're in that situation, oftentimes you're not thinking clearly, are you? You're in panic mode. You're in sort of, you know, you've got something that's hanging over your head, bills or rent or something like that, you know, whatever sort of situation for whatever reason.
I get you.
You know, it's the temptation can be quite, you know.
Oh, it's huge, man. And listen, and look, the most
I believe.
The most vulnerable time you are there is where it's a crisis, right?
Yeah.
And there's a genuine crisis. Can't pay your rent, car's broken down, stuff like that, right? So if you possibly can, the way to actually stop predatory lenders getting you at that time when you're emotionally vulnerable, try and have something like a rainy day fund, right? Just something, even if it's $2 a day, $5 a day, $10 a week, you can put it in there and it's just for emergencies and just ring fence it. When that genuine emergency comes up, you can actually pay and you don't get into this state of mind that says, oh shit, where can I get money? Stick it on the credit card. These people will lend me money in order to do it. So having something like an emergency or rainy day fund, and listen, here's a real mental discipline, don't touch it.
This is the next question I was going to ask you. So, I mean, there's definitely people that can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's definitely people that have a lot of difficulty doing that because once it's there and there's 30 bucks there, I could just get 30 bucks from there.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know,
I hear
and
you.
I'll pay it back.
Yeah. You know, no, I get you.
So, I mean, what's the best way? Do you need to sort of rewire the way you think about money? In the sense, excuse the pun, as far as, you know, treating it as, sometimes if it's there, if your account's and you get some money in your account, spend it,
I hear you. So here's the way to deal with that. Do it in a way that you don't see it very often, right? So either set up a little bank account that doesn't show up on your bank app, so you can't see it. Set it up with another bank or whatever, and just put a little bit in there, and so you'll almost forget about it, right? And you just don't see it every day.
A super good tip that someone told me once was set up another bank account. So even if you were to transfer it, it would take like, you know, an afternoon or overnight or something. So you kind of have that time to be like, oh, shit, do I really want to?
do this. Do I really need to, that?
Yeah, it's not like
pants?
That instant.
Do I need those pants that badly?
Yeah. Or that instant spend, you can't. Like, if that bank account doesn't have a card and you just put it in there, then you have to transfer it out and it takes 24 hours or whatever.
Or, you know, like, here's a really old-fashioned way of doing it. Get cash, give it to your mum. And
sure.
Say, hold this onto me for I don't want
to
see it.
Imagine the mums know how to do that, though. You know? Imagine mums don't go, oh, I could spend his cash and I'm just paying back. I can't even realise. I mean, yeah, that's a great idea. Or even when you get your first pay packet, you know, division up a wee bit there.
Oh man, look, this
I couldn't
is
believe
huge.
It when I first working in a record shop and got paid, and I was like, what? $162?
I know.
Wow!
And yeah. What you should do, like with
it's going to take me all afternoon to spend that, you know, sort of thing.
Sure, that long, man.
Yeah.
I tell you, and so what you do is with that first pay packet or whenever you get it, just set up something that just takes 5% of it and sticks it somewhere else. So
I guess that's
so
what
you never get used to having the money, right?
I guess that's what KiwiSaver is essentially, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, and which is a good thing because I know it's helped me out immeasurably. You know, like it's the first decent savings I've ever managed to sort of.
Yeah,
and together, and it's like, and it's, you know, it's a really good thing that they, you know, introduced it. Yeah, I think because we're going to have a very difficult time, us folk, as there becomes this huge glut of old people in New Zealand.
Yeah,
you know, and we're trying to support ourselves because things aren't going to get cheaper.
No, they're not. Actually, I'll tell you what. I used to work at a really big KiwiSaver provider. We phoned up.
Which one?
Tower. And we phoned up 50,000 people where this call centre, 50,000 people who become default members, right? They didn't even know they had KiwiSaver. So here's how the conversation went. Hey, do you know you're in KiwiSaver? No. Do you know how much money you've got? No. You've got $4,000. I think the average was $3,000 or $4,000. Really? And they said, really? And said, guess what the next question was?
When can I get it?
How can I get it out? so
can I, what about if I take $2,000 now, can I just get that in?
Yeah, exactly.
Please,
so the great thing about KiwiSaver is you're right, man. You just put money in, you don't pay a lot of attention to it, it builds up over time, you can take it out to buy your first home, and actually it's also available for you in times of crisis.
I like the way they buy your first home like that's ever going to happen.
Well,
no one's going to be able to afford a house anymore.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, maybe.
So you can take it out in crisis.
You can take it out for hardship. Well, there's someone called a trustee who sits there, like the public trust in our case, and you basically apply if you're in genuine cases of hardship, and that would be things like medical emergency, being unemployed, can't afford to pay your bills.
Someone stole your
laptop. Trustee will look at it.
Does that count?
No, that won't count.
Not even lawyer work stuff on it?
I was talking about
insurance.
Who can afford insurance? Those
you'll get your money back in standard emergencies. I mean, for real emergencies like losing your iPhone.
Seriously, like where do you draw the line there? Because that's something that can really throw you, you know. Or something smashes into your car.
Mate. Look, it's ultimately the trustee's decision. Typically, what they will do is they'll do it for you in times of genuine emergency and crisis. We're talking about, you know, housing, food, basic bills, all those sorts of things. They'll release some of that money. So you can think about it as a crisis fund, but it's not a fund that basically, you know, where you can get money if you lose your phone.
Fair enough. Or travel.
Yeah.
What about, I mean, I've been a big advocate of going, well, you know what? I could go overseas, could spend some money and kind of trip. That'd be really cool. And I've done that quite a few times, which I really, really, every single time the only time I've ever regretted it is once I got home and went, ooh, shit.
Yeah.
It cost a wee bit.
Yeah.
And what about with KiwiSaver and stuff? How does that work because as a provider, you guys invest it into
all over the world.
All different sorts of places. How can you be sure that you guys aren't going to, any provider's not going to just blow it?
Well,
there have been a few finance company issues in the past in this country, Sam.
I hear you, mate. So listen, so we invest in, gosh, you've got over 5,000 investments in 23 countries, right? So most KiwiSaver providers are going to spread it really wide. And so none of the investments will be particularly big. I think our biggest investment's probably about 0.5% of the portfolio. So you spread it really, really wide. And, you know, you've got trustees and you've got regulators making sure that this money is sensibly invested, right? So I'm not actually particularly concerned that any KiwiSaver provider is going to end up blowing your dough on this. The interesting thing about travelling overseas and blowing money too is, like, I'll tell you a real, real simple trick, man, and I fell into this. Don't have credit cards, man. Just have debit cards. Only spend what you've got. Because as soon as you have credit cards, mate, Banks make $1 billion a year in interest on credit cards.
Let's talk about the evil satanic banks. Because man, banks make so much money. Their quarterly net profit is obscene.
Yeah, so they make they made over $5 billion this year. That's $5,000 million. It's over $1,000 in net profit after tax for every New Zealander, right?
So, wow!
They are massively, phenomenally profitable, yeah? And you know what? Here's a real interesting question. No one knows quite how. If you actually
This is the thing that's my hidden about banks. It's all very, it gets to a point where it's very shady, eh? It's sort of.
Well, also, look, here's a really interesting thing. They, they're just very, very, very profitable. And
ooh, yuck.
Yeah.
Creepy.
We've been huge advocates just recently. Said, look, we need a commission of inquiry into this. We got to find out what the hell's going on.
Like Australia just had.
Yeah, like Australia's having right now.
How likely is it that seems perfectly logical.
Yeah.
That especially because half the banks that are involved in it, and what went on in Australia, which is what they call cartel, banking, that sort of stuff, is half those banks are our biggest banks here.
Yeah, well...
So who's the...
The four biggest banks here are owned by the Aussies, four biggest banks in Aussies, so they're effectively branch offices of them. Over in Aussie, once they had a Royal Commission of Inquiry, a whole lot of stuff came out, right? So, and we're saying, look, we probably need it here too. In fact, we definitely need it here because, look, these guys are just making so much money and we've got to feel real comfortable that that banks are doing the right thing for us, right?
How likely is it that they are taking us for a ride?
Well, look, they're making far too much money from us. There's no question about that, right? I mean, it's a ridiculous level of profitability. For all of those students out there studying econ, this is a classic example of what we call rent-seeking behavior. They're just effectively taking advantage of their position right now. And because the thing is, man, it's as simple as this. Like, in a world where you get more transparency, when you know exactly what you're paying for your power and everything else, no one really knows what they're paying their banks, right?
No one really knows what you're paying your power company for, to be honest.
Well, except that once a month they say, here's what we're charging in dollars and cents, right? Do you get that from your bank? Do you get a statement once a month that said, you paid us in total this amount this month?
Yeah.
You don't.
No.
You don't, mate. No. It's all hidden in the fine print and this and that and so on. And it all adds up to being enormous amounts of money, right? So I could give you a couple of examples. Credit card debt, $1 billion worth of interest charged by the banks, $1,000 million on credit cards. KiwiSaver fees this year, $525 million will be charged in KiwiSaver fees.
I'm looking forward. I'm switching over to you guys just so I can get away from the ANZ.
Right. Thank you. Go for it.
Suck it.
It'll take 2 minutes online.
I know. I heard that last week. Hey, so what about three things or one, two bits of advice that you can give a BFM listener that they can put into, because, I mean, you've given some fine advice, Sam.
Yeah,
quite motherly, I'd say. The sort of stuff that my mum says stuff like, you know, what you need to do is when you finish dinner, you take your dishes out, you rinse and put them in the dishwasher, and then when the dishwasher's filled, you turn it on, and then when you're ready, then you've got a whole bunch of clean dishes.
Yeah.
You know, logical stuff like that.
Don't
get into credit card debt. Don't do that. But there must be stuff for the people that are in crisis at the moment from this point, you know, forget about what they could have done.
Yeah, no,
from right
you,
now, what's something that BFM listeners could do right now so that next week when we talk to you, they will be a little bit less in the shit.
Gotcha, man. If you're totally in the shit, one thing you do is go and get some advice. Go to Citizens Advice. There's a whole lot of people out there that can give you basic budgeting advice. It's free. It's really sensible. They're not going to try and flog you anything.
Yes, so don't go to the banks.
Yeah, all the listeners are here because they want to learn stuff, right? They're at university because they want to learn stuff.
Yep.
Go and learn stuff. And it's free advice there from very sensible, well-meaning people. Cool. That's the one thing I'd do, man.
All right, Sam. Hey, thanks for coming in. Speak to you again next week. Bye.
Money, money, money must be funny in a post-capitalist utopia. Home Economics on 95 BFM. Thanks to Simplicity, New Zealand's fastest growing KiwiSaver plan. Switch online in 2 minutes.